Welcome to Stutter Talk. This is the B Team, and it's our third episode. If you like anything you hear on the show and you want to write into Stutter Talk, you can email us or the A Team at stuttertalk@stuttertalk.com, or you can give us a call and leave a voicemail at 206-666-5340. And before we get the show kicked off, I just have to tell everyone about a little research thing going on in the UK. I have to say that there are two names in this paragraph that I really don't know how to pronounce, so I hope I won't offend anybody overseas. But there's research being done at De Montfort University in Leicester, UK, regarding adults' impressions of private therapy for stammering. If you are interested, go to stuttertalk.com, where there is a link to the online questionnaire. And to participate in the research, all you need to do is fill out the questionnaire online. And that kind of research is really important for all of us. So if you're interested, please check it out. So today's show is about... Well, we have Andrew Bowers on the show. Hi, Andrew.
Hello.
And we're happy to have you on the show.
I'm very happy you invited me.
And Joel and Karen are also here. I forgot to mention that.
Hi.
So Andrew Bowers is assisting the National Stuttering Association with their highly successful 20-somethings program. And they actually had it at the National Conference in July for the first time. We're going to talk a little bit about it on the show, but if you want more information about the NSA 20-something program, sorry, or would like to get involved, you can contact the National Stuttering Association at www.westutter.org. So now that all the housekeeping paragraphs are out of the way, we can kind of throw some questions at Andrew about the program.
Yeah, first question that we had for you, Andrew, is this last NSA conference was the second NSA conference that I've ever attended, and it was just a great experience overall. And part of that experience was due to the 20-something program, and really the amount of 20-somethings that were in attendance at the conference. So one thing I was wondering about is just how the whole idea got started.
Well, I'm fairly sure that this has been an idea that's been going back and forth between many people for a few years now. And in the past conferences, a few things have been tried to incorporate the 20-somethings more. But I think this year was the year that things really got rolling on it, and it was successful. And it actually all started out... Debbie Nikolai, she approached... she actually Facebooked a few people and asked and said, "Hey, I'm trying to get a 20-somethings program in the works. Do I have any volunteers to help out with that, to be on kind of the committee?" And I jumped at the chance. So for a few months, we had various meetings over Skype and things like that to try to figure out what would be the best program and the best thing to have for the 20-something age group, because it was a needed program. And it evolved into what we had this past year at the conference. So,
One thing I remember is towards the end of the conference is that there was an open microphone that was sort of geared specifically to 20-somethings, and I was there, and I remember getting up and saying something, and I was just I was pretty blown away at all the stuff was hearing in the sense that it was just like this extremely positive vibe, and it was kind of overwhelming. And I was wondering if you had expected to get that positive of a reception.
Well, during the planning process, there were a few of us on the committee, and you know, we thought that we'd have a lot of people. You know, we kind of expected that, but then during the course of the planning, we had to hold the introductory session at 8 a.m. on Thursday. And the way things were planned, I was thinking that we wouldn't have a huge turnout. But I think everyone was just blown away at how many people actually attended. And it just seemed that every 20-somethings workshop that was held, there were more and more participants in the workshops. And it was, as you're saying, it was such a positive vibe. And that last open mic was so amazing because we had so many first timers who volunteered to get up and tell their story. And it just showed how much this program has been needed over the years.
Actually have a question, because this year was actually my first NSA conference, and regrettably I didn't actually make it to that many 20 something events, but like Joel, I was at that last open mic and was just like totally moved by like how much energy was in the room. And I just kind of wanted to throw the question to you, Andrew, like, why do you think, whether it's NSA related or just personally, why do you think it's so important it's like, what are the unique challenges that stuttering presents to a person in their 20s that would make this kind of program really, needed?
Well, I think that when you're in your 20s, it's a lot more difficult because you're in more of a transition stage to true adulthood. Yes, when you're 18 legally, you're an adult, but the maturity, I think, comes in the late teens, that kind of, or in the late 20s. And I think that during that transition period, you're really trying to find out who you are, what you want to be in this world we live in. So I think that the challenge, just being a 20-something is a challenge because you're trying to find a job, maybe for the first time, like an actual career for the first time. You might be getting married. You may be starting a family. I mean, there's just, I think that there's so many workshops that we can have to address these things. And not only the problems, but there's also that social aspect as well. So.
Yeah, I can specifically remember myself when I was graduating from college, and you're starting to look for jobs, and you're starting to go on job interviews and stuff, and especially once you start to work, it's like, well, for me, I was really struggling with stuttering, and it's like that little switch goes off that says, oh wow, like I have to be accountable for this, and I have to figure out a way to be successful and communicate despite this challenge. And I think that other times in my life, stuttering just wasn't so up front and center, because you know, you're going to school, or you're going to high school, or you're going to college or whatever, and it's just kind of like, wow.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely find for myself and for a lot of people that I talk to that in their early to mid-20s is when a lot of people like hit that wall where like they kind of hit rock bottom, and you have to really like pull yourself off the floor and like really make some changes. And like for me, it was definitely like career stuff, in the sense where I was actually thinking about like what career I wanted to pursue, and like and I had to really come to terms with how much fear I had, and like and then like really had to admit to myself, or like really had to ask myself whether I was gonna let the fear I had about stuttering affect my choices, or if I was gonna like face it. And somehow do something about it. So it's like, and I feel like a lot of people that I talk to in their 20s is when that like really profound, like really painful change kind of comes about. So yeah, I think this kind of program is like really, really just critical, sort of.
Yeah. I mean, because as you said, during your 20s, you're really making changes, and it's where people might need the self-help and support more than ever.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah.
I remember another thing that was going on at the NSA conference is, I think I've brought this up on the show before, but probably up until about 2.5 years ago, due to the fact that I really hadn't met a lot of people who stutter, I just assumed that people who stutter were going to be weird, and I just felt like at this NSA conference, I mean, there was so many people who were there that were in their 20s, and so many people there that were just super cool, for lack of a better word. Like, it was just, it really seemed like when you were there and hanging out with a lot of these people, that there was literally no other place that you would rather be at the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I completely agree with you there.
Karen, where are you over there? I haven't heard your voice in a while.
Just taking it in. yeah, cool. I mean, I love that there's a 20-something program now. I think for me, at the local NSA chapter that I go to, I see a lot of people that are older than me, and they're great role models, but something about having a role model that's your same age and really going through the same things as you, that I think has really helped me the most.
Yeah.
And I think having workshops geared towards that is just awesome.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, I thought you were keep going.
I was going to ask Andrew a question. Do you think that the 20-something program met yours and the NSA's expectations of what you had planned, or is there things that you would want to change for the next year?
I mean, the program this past year, it exceeded a lot of expectations and surprised a lot of people, including myself. There are some things that we want to change and improve, but I'm fairly certain that a lot of important people in the NSA were impressed and surprised at the results. So
That's really great.
So is there anything interesting and new that we should be waiting in anticipation for the next year in Texas?
Well, I really don't have anything concrete right now. It's still pretty far away, but all I can say is that it's going to be in Fort Worth. It's going to be in Fort Worth, and that's where I currently live. So next year the 20-something program is going to be in my backyard. So if it was that great this past year, I can only imagine how great it will be when it's, you know, kind of where I live and where I'm familiar with all the places. And
I thought you were actually like suggesting or like joking that you were gonna have it in your backyard.
No,
that's gonna be awesome.
Figuratively, in my back, it's in.
We're just gonna stay at Andrew's house.
I think that we should all camp out.
Well, considering I currently live in an apartment, probably wouldn't work out too well for you guys. No, but it's going to be in downtown Fort Worth, and I know downtown Fort Worth fairly well, so I know all the hot spots, you know, good places to hang out and that kind of thing. So,
great.
Andrew, I've got another question for you that's slightly on topic, but slightly off topic too. So,
all right.
I talked to you. I've talked to you a little bit at the NSA conferences, obviously, and all that. But you're a speech language pathologist in the public schools, correct?
Yes, I am.
And you're also a 20-something who is married and has a child on the way.
Yes.
So, by all rights, you're a very successful person who stutters, who's a 20-something. So I have to ask you, what is the secret?
The secret? I would say it's all about the support. I mean, my parents, they knew that I had a problem, and they were very supportive. They raised me with a lot of extra self-confidence. They always supported my decisions, and my wife is the exact same way. They support me, but they're also kind of hard on me. Like, they won't let me, you know, have, like, for the longest time, I would never order fast food through a drive-thru. I would always want to park the car and walk in and order it. Much easier to point at things. Well, my wife finally got tired of that. And so, I mean, so...
Like, I want to stay in the car.
Yeah, and she's also a speech-language pathologist. Oh, nice. So she pretty much forced me to, you know, to just kind of get over my fears. And, I mean, just I think the key is just having a good support system. And if you don't have that, at home, then you have the NSA, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when you met your wife, was she pretty knowledgeable about stuttering, or did you have to do some educating?
Well, considering we actually met in undergrad during our introduction to communication disorders
interesting
class, and she tells me that she kind of became interested in me because during the class, the professor, she showed a movie that kind of explained stuttering, and it was a very happy movie saying, you go to therapy and you're cured. Yay.
Oh, no.
So, yeah. So what I did is I talked to my professor and said, hey, next class period, can I get up and share my story? Because it isn't all candy and milkshakes being a person who stutters. It's not that easy. So I just stood up in front of class and I told my story, and she says that's kind of what made her interested in me is my self-confidence and things like that. So I think I actually educated her before before we were together, and she has a lot more understanding because she was interested in the field. So
cool.
You know, it's kind of funny. One thing I was thinking about when you were just describing that was the topic for the last B Team episode was dating, and one of the points that I made is that some women find it very attractive when you can be confident despite showing the vulnerability of stuttering. And sounds to me like that's kind of what happened in your class.
You tapped into it.
That's kind of what happened. I mean, it wasn't that easy. I mean, her just being interested wasn't her wanting to immediately, you know,
sure,
hang out with me.
Yeah.
It was a series of events where I followed her home once, you know, just to hang out. You know, it was just,
yeah. Standard stalking procedures, yeah. You know.
Exactly.
That's confidence.
Yeah. Great. Well, Andrew, thank you so much for coming on the show and telling us about the 20-somethings program. It'll definitely, hopefully it'll encourage people who weren't able to attend the last convention to come for Fort Worth. That should be cool.
Yeah, I'm very excited. But I'm really hoping that we have even more participation, and hopefully we can get the word out sooner, because there were a lot of 20-somethings that I saw at the open mic that I had no clue who they were, and I'm like, where have all these people been hanging out?
You know? Well, they heard. Yeah, that was
me, Joel, and Karen actually. Yeah.
Well, that was the conversation we all had. We're like, what have we been missing out on? You know?
Yeah.
We're like, I was about ready to start crying, you know, at that.
Yeah. It's really hard though, but because there's so many great things going on at the NSA, I feel like no matter what I choose to go to, there's always like five other things that I wish I could see.
Yeah.
So,
that's true.
I don't know. It's just hard.
Yeah, well, I mean, what's great about the 20-something program is, yes, we have workshops that are tailored to our age range, but we also have the social events
and
things like that, which are also an important aspect to the 20-something program as well. And I still didn't see a lot of people there either. or there were a lot of people, but there were more that randomly showed up at the end of the conference that you know would have probably been a great addition to our nightly outings.
Right. You know, right. So. Well, we will all be there next year for every single outing.
That sounds excellent.
So, Andrew, good luck to you and your wife on your really exciting journey coming up.
Well, thank you very much. I'm going to need it.
All right, we'll see you.
Guys,
want to say bye? Fort Worth, Andrew. And as Peter writes us, would say, the first round is on me.
Or the first round is on him.
Oh, yeah.
So the first round's on Peter. Just so you guys know.
Oh, great. Perfect.
Excellent. That'll work.
Okay, cool.
When I see flying in the sky above the field and fjord.
So we're back from the break, and it was great having Andrew on the show. And I think now we're just going to kind of continue the tradition of the B team just giving a little update on where they're at with stuttering or life and just kind of what's going on for a couple of minutes. Who wants to start? I don't want to start.
I think Joel does.
Did you just say, wait, you just said I want to start, and then Karen said, I think Joel does.
No, I said I don't want to start.
Oh, you don't want to start. Okay.
That's what I thought.
I'll start. I always have stuff, stuttering stuff going on, you know. Okay, so right now I feel pretty good about things. I'm actually trying to set up a recording session with the local guy in town for my band, and we've been communicating a lot via email. Well, actually, Facebook, but whatever, same thing. And it was getting a little convoluted, so he said he was just going to call me, and it was weird because it doesn't seem like that should be like a big deal at all, but I noticed like some like old, just like some old stuff coming up a little bit. And I noticed I've been kind of thinking about it a little bit today, but it's kind of ties into, last weekend I was playing a show, in St. Paul, and it was a Halloween show, and there's a ton of people there. It was a great show. And of course I never have issues stuttering when I'm singing, as is experienced with a lot of people who stutter. But I noticed in between songs, I do a lot of the talking in between songs, and I could tell I was trying a little too hard not to stutter, in the sense that I think I was doing some avoidance stuff that I was not okay with. Mm-hmm. And also, before and after the show, I was really struggling, just a lot of tension and a lot of struggle, just overt struggling. And I'm not sure why exactly it was happening like that. I was talking to another musician I've never played with before that I have a lot of respect for and was really excited to be playing with him. And I think that it was a new situation in that sense. But also, I kind of feel like something that happens to me is that when the wheels start coming off a little bit, I have a difficult time putting them back on. So like when I'm talking to this guy and it's just like tense block after tense block, it seems like it's more difficult to make a change than if I feel like I'm a little bit more in control.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think it's really interesting too. I would imagine it being really hard to be performing on stage and having the audience perceive you as a fluent person and then start talking and then have them perceive you as someone who stutters. I just can imagine that being really hard, sort of being both at the same time.
It's a little bit strange.
The stage of life.
Yeah.
That's like our whole life.
Mm-hmm. but when he sings, he doesn't even try. Right. He's not like trying not to stutter. He just...
Yeah.
True.
You just open your mouth and you don't stutter.
Fluently singing.
Anymore. Yeah. Cool.
But it was kind of cool, just the end of the story, and then it's Roisin or Karen's turn. For some reason, I don't know. I don't really do this that often, but I just kind of felt the urge. I posted a Facebook status update about how, I just felt like really out of control with my stuttering and feeling a lot of overt struggle. And, of course, I got some support from our stuttering family out there, just Got to give a shout out to Stephen Kaufman. You know, he's always quick on the draw. You know,
yes, he is.
And actually, the guy, the musician who I was talking to, he wrote on there, and he was just like, "Hey," he was like, said something, but at the end, it said, "I always really enjoy talking to you."
Oh wow!
So that was kind of nice.
That's really, really nice. Wow.
Yeah, that's cool, actually.
So, Roisin, what's going on with you? You just started your job. Something must have come up.
Yeah. So, the job is good. Stuttering. So, we start in the nurse residency program at this hospital, and there were probably like 40 or other new nurses starting with me. Wow. So we actually had a presentation on patients who are deaf and hard of hearing. Mm-hmm. And this woman who works as an interpreter for American Sign Language and just kind of like is involved in the community, but she's not deaf, came and talked to us. And she didn't really say anything about caring for the type of patient, but she just like ranted for an hour about how like people in this community should be respected. And if you write things down, it can offend them, and they have their own culture, and you should never try to impose like your hearing culture on them, and there's nothing wrong with them. And it was like these very clear parallels between stuttering. And I had never really thought about that before. And like that. So she was like talking about how like, it's really offensive if you say that they're hearing impaired. They're not hearing impaired. They're deaf. It's like a culture thing. It's not dysfunction, like, and et cetera, et cetera. And then she asked the class, does anybody in here have a disability? And which is a kind of a crazy question to ask, but yeah, she just asked it. And a lot of people, out of 40, probably 16 people, like, raised their hands. And I was kind of like, I don't even know if stuttering is officially like, I'm a little unclear if it's a disability, if I see it as a disability for me. So I like had my hand like up and then down and like back and forth, really awkward. And she like pointed me out and she's like, what's yours?
That's awesome.
At this point, I had told like individual people that I had met, but I hadn't like advertised, like standing in front of the room advertising.
I missed something you just said. I don't know what just happened.
I said that at this point, before she asked me, I hadn't like planned on getting in front of the room and saying, hi, I stutter, you know, whatever. I'd done it just like conversationally, sort of. So I hadn't really advertised for many people at all. And I was like, I stutter. and I was like, and actually, like, I'm seeing some like interesting parallels between these two.
I love that you got.
I know, right?
But you got like tricked. You got tricked into advertising to the whole.
Yeah,
the whole
it was, thing. But it was helpful. And then she was like, "That's so cool. Tell me about that." And we like, sorry, we like had a conversation in front of the class about it. Yeah. And then a girl raised her hand and said that she was hard of hearing, used hearing aids. It was like everyone just started really disclosing all these things. So it was cool.
Yeah. I'm minored in ASL in undergrad, and I remember I used to think about that all the time, how I used to always learn in class how like they didn't want to be fixed and how the hearing culture were trying to fix them, and then it really made me think about my speech, like maybe stuttering isn't something that needs to be fixed, it's just what other people think needs to be fixed.
Yeah,
and it was really cool to what you're talking about.
And it was cool to like hear someone like she was very aggressive about it and very like really believe what she was saying to us. Mm-hmm. And was like, it is wrong if you tell them that like they should have surgery. You never tell a patient that. Like, she was very like aggressive about it, and it was nice to see someone who doesn't stutter advocating aggressively for the same sort of thing.
Yeah.
And she heard stuttering. She's like, yes, I've heard about that. It's like similar, like just a different way of talking. And I was like, oh, cool. You don't stutter. And you're like aggressively like,
yeah,
supporting that. So that was cool. But that was for my actual job.
I know it's also like really offensive to say like that they have an impairment. Mm-hmm. And it made me also really think about stuttering. Like, does that offend me if someone were to say that, because there is, I mean, something different about my speech, But I guess it doesn't necessarily mean that it's wrong.
Right, right. Yeah.
I don't know. I think the whole comparison's really cool.
Yeah, same. Maybe we should have, that could be difficult, a deaf person, whatever. we figure it out, but that'd be difficult. So on the actual floor, like now I'm working 12-hour shifts on the actual floor, like with patients. I basically advertise to like my nurse manager and the people that are training me, like one by one sort of. And then it's been a little difficult because there are a lot of situations that are very like quick exchanges between another healthcare worker or between a patient or a family member.
Ooh, and those are tricky.
Yeah, and it doesn't feel appropriate to say, hi, I stutter, just so you know, before we have this, they ask me a question. Mm. So, and I could, but I'm like still trying to figure it out. I haven't felt like really uncomfortable. I haven't felt, and I'm not avoiding stuttering, but I have been noticing that because I'm maybe like my awareness of it is heightened, that I'm stuttering more. Like I'm having more just physical, not like avoiding, not necessarily more fear, but that can kind of come along with it if this goes on for a while, but more like just actual, like just tension. And like, like I feel like I haven't felt that in a while. So I'm like kind of figuring out, I'm not really figuring it out. I'm just like kind of thinking about that.
Yeah.
And just, I don't know. I'm a little nervous about, because as you get more, train more, extensively, you just get more and more patients and more responsibilities, and you have to report on rounds and you have to page the doctors and stuff. And if there's an emergency, you have to give report. So it's just like more and more, demanding speaking situations are going to come up. So I'm a little, anxious about that at this point.
I think that that's interesting to hear you say that, because that's an experience I have a lot where, like, I'm always trying to figure out why something's happening with my speech. Like if I'm struggling, why am I struggling more? Why is there more, you know, overt tension or whatever? And I'm noticing that sometimes there just really isn't a reasonable explanation for some of the stuff. Like you were saying, you felt like, you know, you weren't avoiding, you didn't feel more anxious or nervous or whatever you want to call it, or just, you just seem to be stuttering more. And I guess now I'm starting to think that it's probably normal for there to be no explanation for some, or maybe even a lot of the variability that we experience, you know?
Yeah, right. And then I feel like at a certain point, this is kind of, I just kind of started with patients and on the floor like in the past week or so. So it's like I'm slowly starting to add in the anxiety feelings and the, you know, like the secondary feelings. But before all that happened, like right now, I'm just like, I feel comfortable, but I'm just stuttering more. And I don't know if it's because like the situation itself is more demanding before I even have like time to process it and attach that to it. It just it is a more demanding situation.
How?
For my brain somehow. So mm-hmm. it's happening more. And I'm trying to figure out a way like not to like let anxieties like creep into it. I guess I'm kind of working on that right now. But yeah.
Sorry.
No, I was just saying that I agree, Joel, that I think that we like have a tendency to attach like the causes and the situation and this is causing this. But I think a lot of the time when it first starts, when you start stuttering more at first, it's just kind of like, why is this happening? And then you attach your stuff onto it.
Yeah.
As you go. Yep.
Karen, what's going on with you?
Well, I have a question for Roisin really quick. Mm-hmm. How do you think the patient's reactions are since you haven't only been advertising to them? Like, do you see that they are confused or think it's a joke, or they just don't even seem to pick up on it?
So I've like probably told about half my patients about stuttering.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because the only reason I wouldn't is because right now I'm going into a room with like my preceptor, and mm-hmm. she introduces me as like as an orientee. So it's kind of hard for me to step in front of her and say, I'm Roisin, I stutter. Like I feel like it's like me. It's not exactly my patient yet. So it's a little difficult, but I've done it for a couple patients. So I'm like, and I have like alone with time with them. And it's more like, it seems like it makes sense more.
Yeah.
And the ones that I have told are like really, interested in it. And they're really interested in like what I did, if it's gotten better, what I've been working on. I think it's, well, I work with patients who have been diagnosed with cancer. Mm-hmm. And I don't even know if it's related, but they're like interested in it, but they're very like, oh, like, was that hard for you? Like, when did you like start doing it? Like, they're like just interested, I think, in people facing adversity, kind of.
Yeah.
And then the patients that I don't tell about stuttering, I think that, well, a lot of my patients are like really confused, like, because they're on a lot of medications. So those ones, I don't even bother advertising. They just be like, what do you, just like too much information.
Yeah.
But the ones that are like alert and oriented, and I don't, I haven't noticed so far like a weird reaction, but it definitely would be a better interaction if I told them I stuttered.
Mm-hmm.
I think the biggest thing for me is like coworkers. Like when you're training, you want to like let people know that you're capable of the job and you're going to be good at the job. And if I don't get a chance to tell people that I stutter, but they hear me talking, I get like really insecure about what they think about my skills and whatever.
Yeah.
But,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think that's the most challenging part of it.
Well, I feel like I'm actually dealing with some of the same things that you are. I'm doing some clinical stuff for my master's in speech pathology, and I'm at a different placement every day. So there's some of the patients that I've kind of gotten to know, but some of them I only see like once each week, and I'm at a hospital one day a week, so the patients there are new every time. And so I guess with the hospital, a lot of the same things that you've been saying, I've advertised once. And I think part of it is that the interactions are so, so quick. And the fact that I'm never going to see them again. And my supervisor's there the whole time. I think it's almost tied into what we were talking about a few episodes ago about how I feel more uncomfortable at advertising when there's people there that know.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I just feel like my supervisor might think it's like not professional to be going into their room and to be telling them that. I don't know.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I feel like they're gonna think, and makes no sense, but they're gonna think that I'm like either like really self absorbed or like really like just. Yeah, I don't know. It's a crazy way to feel, but I totally understand.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that – I mean, a lot of the patients I see are very, very ill, and they really – I don't think they're alert enough to really know what I'm saying, let alone how I'm saying it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's definitely some patients, especially like the outpatients that I see, that – I mean, I'm sure they notice, and I guess I'm still trying to figure out the best way to deal with that.
Yeah.
And then another one of the settings that I'm in, I'm working with a bunch of men with dementia, and some of their memories are only like 5 minutes long. So even when I do advertise, they forget after like 5 minutes or so. So that
you can just practice it over and over and over again, like different ways.
Yeah, I think like one of the main reasons that advertising helps me is because I have this fear of what others like, how others might like make fun. Mm-hmm. And it's been hard not being able to use advertising as a tool to prevent people from making fun of my speech. Mm-hmm. Because no matter how many times I advertise.
wait, so do these patients make fun of you every 5 minutes and like not realize? Like,
some do, some don't. I mean, there's certain men that I see that like every 5 minutes they'll just mock my speech, and they'll have no idea that I just explain to them why I talk like this. So it's gotten to the point where I just don't. That's so great. Yeah. But that's kind of what I've been going through.
Interesting cool. parallels.
Yeah.
How about interesting?
Hi. Does anyone have any last thoughts?
I for the first time in my life, wrote a song about stuttering. And
really?
We've got a show in a couple weeks that we're going to play it at. So next B-Team episode, I'll let you guys know how it goes.
That's awesome. Is there any
opening song?
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Is there any way that we could get a copy of it?
Well, someday. Someday.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Fair enough, Joel. Mm-hmm.
Hey, Joel, did you listen to the A-Teams episode with Emily Blunt?
I sure did.
Because I heard there was a little talk between who could take who.
Oh yeah,
and I heard that I won.
What? Okay, I got. I'm trying to remember what
who
the
who could take who in a fight.
In a fight,
yeah.
Between Karen and Joel.
I thought that Peter's comment was strangely appropriate. How no matter what the outcome was, that you'd be able to convince me that you won. So it's a mute point. And I thought there was some truth to that. I remember one episode we were on together and. And everything you were saying, I was like, oh my gosh, I never thought about it like that before, and just I was very agreeable.
Yeah, and then when we were done, you were like, Karen, you should be my SLP.
Yeah,
deal.
Someday.
Love it. Cool. Anyway, I thought that was really funny, and I was in my room by myself listening to the podcast, and I started to laugh, and I didn't have anyone to laugh with.
I thought
sad life of Karen here.
I thought it was kind of interesting that Eric asked Emily point blank if she thought that that fluency was an appropriate goal for people who stutter. I respected it, but at the same time, I was like, "Oh man! Like how is she supposed to know?"
I feel like during that whole podcast, I was very, very tense.
Really?
Like, I was just like, you're afraid she was gonna say something. For her. I was scared for him.
Yeah.
Oh God.
I have to listen. I haven't listened to it yet.
Yeah.
Well, it's
shame on me, but
you totally respect the fact that she is so open about talking about and stuff. I mean, that's so cool, and she doesn't have to do any of that stuff. But at the same time, there's that part of you that hopes that she doesn't say something. Well, I guess to be honest, to say something that I don't agree with, you know, and then but I mean that's kind of a selfish thing to say, but it's kind of what you think, you
well,
know.
Well, no, it's especially when I mean the thing you don't agree with is might give people these really high hopes that I wouldn't want to see crash and burn.
Sure, yeah, but definitely so awesome that she makes herself accessible too.
Yeah, which is awesome. Yeah,
I'm a big fan.
She seems very, very cool.
I'm a big fan of Emily Blunt.
Yeah.
Well, because of that. That's awesome.
Yeah, no, I completely agree.
Yeah. All right, well, should we wrap this up, you guys?
Yeah,
sure.
All right. Until next time, the B-Team signing off? Question mark?
Yeah. Okay. Signing off. Bye, guys.
Bye.